Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc. on CalBanyan.com. If you're watching this video anywhere except CalBanyan.com, go there now, because right below this video on CalBanyan.com, we got supporting links, images, text. It's just the best place to watch or listen to this and all the other hypnosis training videos we have there. Ooh, today's topic, let's see, it's going to be the big challenge. Of working with small problems. We're going to talk about how sometimes working with smaller problems can be a bigger challenge than working with big problems. Let me introduce you to my co-host. I'm so excited to have Brenda Titus here. She is the one that digs up all these topics. I so appreciate her. Her and Erica, they both do that. All the co-hosts, they scan the internet, they scan the groups, they think of their own questions. Questions get sent into them, topic ideas, so that when we come to the podcast, it's easy for me because I just have to sit down and do what I do. Hey, you know what, Brenda? Is really, really important in our certification courses. She supervises everyone when they break up into practice time to make sure everybody's doing everything right, getting their questions answered, stopping any problems before they become permanent bad habits. So I really appreciate her. Before she was in the world of doing hypnosis and hypnotherapy here at our center, she was in the world of working in a rape and crisis center, doing that kind of heavy duty work. She had still has a bachelor's degree in sociology, a master's degree in criminology, and she's gone from that to really being a leader in the profession in a very short 3 years or so. How you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you so much for having me today, and thank you all for joining us today. You know, I just think that these videos are so valuable. I learn by bringing things to the table. I learn by asking questions, and the best thing for me is that then I get to share some of the experiences that I have with all of you, because as I'm learning and growing and I ask Cal on these podcasts, then we can share with all of you. And that was kind of some of the foundation of today's episode. But before we get started, let's tell you all a little bit about Cal Banyan. So Cal Banyan is the authority on hypnosis that works. He brought us 5-path hypnotherapy, 7th path self-hypnosis, his books, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, The Secret Language of Feelings, which we've been talking about quite a bit lately. He's really one of the trainers of the best, and obviously he puts a lot of time and energy into these weekly podcasts, being there as somebody who can give back to the profession, and I'm just very thankful to be here to help him in that and help all of you out there. So anything you'd like to share, Cal, today before we get started?
Just a reminder to everybody, you want to be the best of the profession. There is no way better, in my opinion, to get started in this profession or move up to the next level than to become a 5-pather, to be part of our support system. If you like these videos, you ain't seen nothing yet. Go and take our National Guild of Hypnotists approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification Super Course. Super Course because it includes 5-path, 7-path, and it is the gateway into all of our support systems for our graduates. We've got our next one coming up in October. It's going to be a October festing, so to speak. It's October 5th through the 16th here at our center in Tustin. Sorry if you missed the one we just had in July, but I'd love to see you in class. Last class was a really full class, so don't wait. My classes do from time to time fill up, and then I'm heartbroken that you couldn't get in the class. All right, I think that's enough for now. Please proceed.
All right, so today we have a topic that came from some of the experiences that I have had recently. And I'd originally written this as I presented it to Cal as kind of a, so you think your casual smoker is going to be easy. And I ultimately called it the challenge of the casual smoker seeking smoking cessation. And as Cal and I talked, he said, well, this can come up in any kind of actual presenting issue. So really what had happened in my situation, and I wanted to bring it up here, it was a learning opportunity for me and something that Cal and I talked about, and I thought other people could benefit from it. So over the last few months, I've had a few people actually who have come, and they've called themselves cheater smokers. They've called themselves casual smokers, you know, only smoke when they go out or only have a couple at night. And they came to see me. I did my usual deal. Their sessions went great, you know, all right, here we are. And they didn't fully quit smoking. But on their follow-up, they were totally okay with it. They said, you know, I've learned so much about myself as we did our work together, and I've realized that I'm choosing to have one cigarette a day or go out and have a cigarette, you know, every once in a while or what have you. So as Cal and I talked about this today, we talked about how that plays out into kind of what we call the challenge of a small problem. So how about that, Cal?
All right. Yeah. As we were talking about that, I'm thinking, what about the person that has maybe a piece of chocolate or, you know, a day or, you know, this, they pamper themselves in some little way. Now, I'm open to the idea that when it comes to tobacco, there might be an appropriate use of tobacco. For example, the native South Americans, native North Americans, what did they do? I mean, they were using tobacco before it ever came to Europe. They'd get together for a powwow or other social occasion. They'd light up the pipe, pass it around, and it wasn't like, you know, your Native American was hunting buffalo with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, right? I mean, there was appropriate use of tobacco, social occasions and stuff like that, and I'm open to it. You know, it might not be as healthy as abstaining, but, and I know I've had this kind of person come in to the office with me as well. And we'll just stay with the example for right now of the person who wants to quit smoking. I had a client come in, and she was just kind of a born-again health nut. And she's been a health nut for, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, she went to the gym. She ate really nice. She drank water. All these things that you're really supposed to do. Vitamins, supplements. And her head was just in this identity of, I'm just love being this really healthy person. But she had this kind of guilty pleasure, and that was maybe in the evening when everyone's gone to bed, she'd go out and have a cigarette. And it was so incongruent with how she felt about herself in so many ways. But as we started doing the work, we found out that, you know, she really felt like, you know, she had been pretty good to herself. I mean, she ate right, she exercised right, she, you know, was just very, very careful with her body, and she had gone so far from where she was. And she felt like that she wanted to quit smoking this occasional cigarette in the evening or occasional cigarette out because it was incongruent with how she felt about how she should be. And as we started going through the process, just like Brenda was talking about, and that this one cigarette, you know, occasional, really the problem was it wasn't causing her enough pain. There wasn't enough negative consequence there to motivate her to make the shift in her life, even with the hypnosis. Because for her, at the deepest level, she felt like she had her life in balance. The same thing could happen with the person who, you know, another very healthy, healthy person who in the evening they like to have that little piece of chocolate, or that's her little snitch. Once in a while she'll have a piece of chocolate, but otherwise he or she is just, I mean, really fit. But they wish they could just get rid of that one thing. And really, in my experience, people are not motivated to change by maybe adding a half a year of life to themselves in their 80s. Yeah, you know, if I stop eating this one piece of chocolate a day, I might live to be 81 and a half instead of 80, you know. But on the other hand, I might be hit by a truck, so who knows? You know, they're thinking like this. And so it can be a really big challenge to overcome really, really small changes. And so I would much rather work with the 2-pack-a-day smoker than the 2-cigarette-a-week smoker, because there just isn't enough pain there to motivate them to make the change. Even with hypnotic suggestion, even with some of the most powerful techniques, sometimes what will happen is they'll just come to their own insight that what they're doing just isn't that bad, and that it's a quality of life decision to continue in the way they've been doing. Anything you want to add to that, Brenda?
I think that's so important, Cal, to just really stop and then ultimately be working towards what your client's goal is then. And, you know, as you're talking to clients, as they're calling in, asking, okay, you know, how much do you smoke? What's your benefit? Even before they ever come, because that might actually help you prepare for, you know, just like we've said, are we talking about a big problem? Yeah, when people have a big problem and they realize it's all or nothing, they're going to be very compliant in your hypnosis chair. They're going to be really ready to do the work. But, you know, like I said, I think really talking to somebody, whether it's cigarettes or, you know, I've actually dealt with this a few times with alcohol as well, or some other food particular issues, really stopping and saying, okay, what is your goal? Do you want to quit outright? Are we talking about cutting down, cutting back, being in control? I think that when we can, you know, really be clear about what the client wants, you know, do they want to be able to have one or two when they're out with friends, or, you know, a single one on a daily basis? I know it seems weird if somebody's calling us for smoking cessation, we think cessation, stop. Sometimes that might not be what they're calling us for. So really stopping and assessing, what is your goal? Where you know, because for some clients, actually cutting way back is actually the goal, you know, or like we said, being in control, but allowing yourself to go out every once in a while and have a cigarette then. So then working with them with all due respect towards the goal that they have set. And that means being flexible. Maybe somebody calls and they're saying, I'm coming to you for smoking cessation. I want to quit. I need to quit. I have to quit. But as they're doing their work, if their goal changes midstream with you, really being attuned to that so that you're working with them to their goal. You know, and that was kind of how I set up with my clients most recently was, you know, as long as you're feeling good about that decision, then great. You know, if it's starting to feel bad that you're having that one cigarette a day, then, you know, we need to do some more work. So give me a call. So that this way, like I said, you're determining what success looks like so that, you know, you can maximize your session so that they can feel like when you're doing, you know, your age progression and they have one cigarette but they feel fine about it, that you can be okay with them. I was in the middle of a session recently and that was what happened, and I said, oh my gosh, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to get you off of these cigarettes. And she said, no, I'm choosing this. And I had to kind of remember, hey, it's her goal, it's what she wants, and, you know, working with her respectfully towards her goal, her decisions, her choices. And the truth is, you know, and Cal alluded to this earlier, you may have to decide if you're even willing to take on a casual smoker. What, you know, are you, you know, now that we've talked about this, you know, really making sure, you know, are there benefits, you know, are they really willing to do the work? For some hypnotists, you know, they might not be, you know, willing to take on certain clients. You know, I definitely now know I need to be aware of some of the language that my smokers are calling me with. I did smoke in college, I admit it, and I quit because I wasn't a smoker. You know, so I don't understand some of this drive to smoke when someone says, you know, they want to quit but not fully or what have you. So, you know, really listening to your client, what do they want, and being prepared to help them. Or, you know, like I said, you know, being prepared for what it is that their goal is. And like I said, in the end, I've had clients who in the end, they were very satisfied with my services, said they want to come back to work on other things because they loved it so much, but they didn't completely quit. But they said, well, I'm in control now, and that was what I wanted. So isn't that interesting, Cal?
Okay, good. So everything you've said is true. Now I'm going to build on a thought you've had that's going to take this to a whole nother level. Okay, I'm going to try to do this as succinctly as I possibly can. Your clients don't always know what they want, and your clients don't always know why they're there. I remember one of our grads once said, I'm trying to think, Edward Wunder. They only think they're coming in for stop smoking. They only think they're coming in to lose weight. And so with the one of the examples you've given, and I've also experienced two with my clients, a particular lady comes to mind. She came in and she wanted to lose some weight. And she, I would put her in the category of being curvy, a curvy gal. You know, she's, you wouldn't look at her and go, oh man, she's fat or obese. She was just a very womanly, curvy, kind of Marilyn Monroe-ish kind of gal, and maybe a little bit more. And as we're going through the weight loss thing, she discovered something, that what she really wanted was love, or what she really wanted was not to be judged negatively by others. Or our clients will discover what they really wanted was to be respected, or these different things. And what we're going to have these people sometimes learn, well, this is one of the things they should learn along the way, and why they might choose to continue to smoke or continue to be that curvy gal. And that is, I don't have to be perfect to be perfectly lovable, okay? And to conform to some other person's or society's standards of what lovable or beautiful or healthy looks like. So this thing is that I can be a smart, intelligent, attractive person who deserves respect and not look like a triathlete. And I can be all those things and still be someone who's attractive. I can be all these things and still be someone who can be respected in my profession. I don't have to conform to the Hollywood idea of what a perfect lawyer, doctor, whatever should look like. And so they'll say, you know what, I'm happy with my lifestyle. Yes, according to the scales, I'm 10 pounds overweight, but I think I wear them really good. Or something like that. And that, for some people, is exactly where they need to be going. And that explains the person that says, you know what, thank you so much. You've helped me so much out of my life. I've so clarified who I am and where I want to go with my life. And to heck with those supposed 5 to 10 pounds I'm supposed to lose. Or the heck with that, having to never smoke a cigarette again. Does that kind of fit in with your experience, Brenda?
Absolutely. Definitely does. You just nailed it right there. I think bringing it back to that, sometimes, you know, the client only thinks they're coming to quit smoking or to get off of alcohol or to lose weight, but there's something that's deeper, and we're hitting those goals head on, and then they can make choices from there on out. So thank you for bringing that up, Cal. That was perfect.
Perfect. All right. Anything else?
I think we are ready to wrap it up, unless you have anything else to add.
I just want to see you guys at the NGH convention. Hey, man, it is the place to be. Everybody that I know that is serious about this profession is going to the convention. And this year is the 65th anniversary of the National League of Hypnotists. It's going to be something special. I'm going to be speaking. Brenda's going to be speaking. Erica's going to be speaking. Maureen's going to be speaking. Some of the best-known speakers like Don Motton, Jerry Kine, and on are going to be there speaking. And so it is the one event out of all the hypnosis organization events that really is the must-go-to event. It's 7th through the 9th of August. You Five Pathers, be there the day before, because we have our dinner party. And then hang around, you guys, 2 days after for my age regression certification class. All right, you guys. Thank you, Brenda, for being here and doing this. We'll see you in a month or so to do some more. All right, Cal Banyan. Signing out.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.